If we get to the point where we believe the promises of God that's in this book, and of course I realize we're not all there, but when we get there, we will stop going to doctors. I'm not saying nothing wrong with a doctor, but here's the only reason I would go to a doctor today. If I go to the king and say, Lord, I don't understand why this certain thing is happening to me, if something was happening to me, I need to know what caused this and what should I do about it. And if the king says, well, I'm going to show you something and I'm going to use what happened to you to train somebody else, so I want you to go to a certain doctor and have him see you over this situation. I have a plan. Well, if he tells me to go to a doctor, I'm going to go to a doctor. But as a rule, from what I've learned about this book, he doesn't plan for me to use anybody but him. I'm going to trust him. I have trusted him for 35 years now without any sickness and not have to have any doctors. I think I can keep on going. Let's go on down to verse 20. Then the Lord will shake Israel like a reed whipped about in a stream. He will uproot the people of Israel from this good land that he gave their ancestors and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River. For they have angered the Lord by worshiping Asherah poles. He will abandon Israel because Jeroboam sinned and made all of Israel sin along with him. Now, if we get a king, a president, that's not going to worship God, and he puts this nonsense out here that we don't have to serve God, he opens the doors to the perverts, the homosexuals, and everything else, and he goes totally wicked, and then he makes all these rules that it's okay for them to do that, and they do that. He's not only sinning, he's causing the nation to sin. And what does God say he's going to do? He's going to disperse the people of Israel all over the world. Who's going to have to suffer the consequences? Everybody. Everybody's going to suffer the consequences. So if there was ever a time in your life that you know you're right with Jesus, you know you're in the Word, you believe, and you got a sin or a hidden sin, you better get rid of it and make sure you're walking in total obedience to God's Word. If you're walking in obedience, He promised you all kinds of things to love you, to bless you, to prosper you, to heal you. Did He not? He promised all those things. But you got to believe Him and trust Him. I mean, you know, I don't get up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, I can't hardly get out of bed. Oh, you won't never see me do that. When I get up in the morning, I'm praising the King. I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm healed. That's something else. We don't realize how important our confession is of the Word. We got to confess what Jesus said. After we repent of our sin, He says we have to believe Him and His promises. You cannot doubt His Word. You got to believe it. So I just stand in awe of the lady that had the breast cancer. Of course, I've seen this hundreds of times. How many times have I had a woman or a man stand here that's a couple, or sometimes she's by herself, and she's got breast cancer, and I will tell her she's got unforgiveness toward a female, and she has, and she gets rid of that, and then I guarantee her after I pray for her, she's healed. Some of them totally get it. And they say, it's done. Why is it done? Because it's written in the book. They got the right answer. It's written in the book. If it's written in God's Word, can you trust His Word? Yes. You can trust His Word. You don't have to worry about it. Now, of course, sometimes if it takes a week or two or three or four, like Dave, for instance, the man that was just here standing here teaching you just a few minutes ago, first of all, Dave's sickness, he had it all of his life. 40 years he'd been sick. And then his mother had been sick all of her life, and his grandmother had been sick with it all of her life. So I told him, we have a generational problem here, and somebody way back down the line sinned a sin somewhere that opened the door to these demonic spirits, and they've been passed to your grandmother, to your mother, and now to you. But I said, you know, thank God, Dave, for Jesus, we can break that curse because He has redeemed you from the curse. And I said, and another thing, Dave, you've got to do, you've got to see what kind of sins you're committing, and you've got to get rid of those sins before you can get healed. Well, he ain't never heard nothing like this at this point. And so he starts looking, and we start standing. One day he comes to me and he says, Pastor, what sins do you think I might be committing? And I said, well, Dave, I said, I know you work for a computer company. And I said, do y'all bid your contracts? Oh, yeah. I said, well, when y'all get a contract over somebody else, do y'all gloat over it? He said, we have a party. Of course we do. I said, Dave, that's sin.
What?
I said, yeah, the Lord says, anytime you gloat over somebody else's misfortune, you will not go unpunished.
I didn't know that.
I said, well, see, the thing about with God, he don't care whether you know it or don't know it. It's in the word, and so you're accountable. And so I said, that's why so many people are sick or afflicted. I said, you didn't know these promises. And so Dave began to repent. Boy, he began to really look at the word. He began to see things in there. Man, he began to confess and get right with God. And as he began to build his faith and got right with God, guess what happened to his sickness? It went away. It went away. He's been healed now 10 years. Now, you can't tell Dave that Jesus is not the healer. He had an incurable disease for 40 years that he got healed of. So you come to Dave and say, Dave, I mean, that was only for the apostles. He said, I'm sorry, you got to me too late. You got to me too late, way too late. He said, I had a terrible disease. And if they say, God don't do miracles, Dave said, you know, I see miracles at this church virtually every day. We pray for people and see healings and miracles on a regular basis. And, you know, if you haven't seen some of those, all you got to do is go back there on the table. And you will find that we have all kinds of DVDs back there with people, the actual people or their children, whoever it happened to, and the testimonies and how we did it, the scripture we used, the sin they were involved in, what they had to do to get rid of their problem. So I remember one of those ladies that her and her husband's testimony is back there when she come to my church. Her husband worked on staff at a church. And she come to me in Dallas and said, I understand you have a healing ministry. I said, yes. And she said, well, I have three boys and all three of them sick. And I said, well, we need to find out what the sin is here. She said, what? I said, yeah, there's a sin. If you got three children and all of them sick, either you or your husband is involved in some kind of a sin. I said, let me just start out, ma'am, and ask you, how is the relationship between you and your husband? She said, it's awful. I hate him. I said, there's your problem. God commanded you to love him and forgive him. She said, you're trying to tell me that my three children are sick. We're in the doctor's office every 2 or 3 weeks. And my one son here is going to be an invalid by the time he's 10 years old and in a wheelchair because of my sin. I said, guarantee it, woman. That's the reason. And she said, you're crazy. And she screamed out the door, screaming, you're crazy. I told her, I said, no, ma'am, I'm not crazy. I said, you ask God, he'll tell you. I know what I'm talking about. I said, he's the one that showed me all this. So on the way home, she is fussing at God. God, that crazy idiot preacher you got down there. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, he's not crazy. He knows what he's talking about. You need to go back and listen to what he has to say. Well, she humbled herself. You know, when God speaks, it seems to carry a little bit different strength. You know, when God talks, I mean, I might tell you something. If you ain't seen it in the Word, Lou, you might think, well, Thurman's crazy. But if God speaks to you and you know it's him talking, at least you're going to give him a chance, right? If you're in your right mind, you're going to give him a chance. And so she came back. She listened to what I had to say. I told her, you have to forgive your husband. And she said, well, I told the Lord when he told me the same thing. I said, Lord, I will never forgive my husband. It will be over his dead body. And the Lord says, no, it will be over your children's dead bodies. You know, God knows how to get a mother's attention. And so she came back. She forgave her husband. They came to church. I prayed for all the boys, and God healed all three of those boys. That had been 10 or 12 years ago, and those boys have not been sick, and that boy was going to be in a wheelchair. He must be 20 or over, and he's running and playing. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Oh, I know we serve a God of grace that would never do that to you today. Well, let me tell you, he will do it to you today, just like he did it right here. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He says he will abandon Israel because Jeroboam sinned and made all of Israel sin along with him. So what is it that causes God to abandon us?
Sin.
You need to get that in your heart. Get rid of that sin. You know, I mean, you don't want that stuff, you know. 17 and 18. So Jeroboam's wife returned to Tarshish, and the child died just as she walked through the door of her home. Poor little guy, huh? Isn't that sad? But what was it killed that little child?
Sin,
absolutely. It was sin. It's always sin. When the people of Israel buried him, they mourned for him as the Lord had promised through the prophet Ahijah. The rest of the events of Jeroboam's reign, all his wars and how he ruled, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jeroboam reigned in Israel 22 years. When Jeroboam died, his son Nadab became the next king. All I got to say is, in all of this wickedness, this guy still reigned over Israel for 22 years. Now then, I want us to go to the New Testament, and I want us to see what God has done for us. God has done an awesome thing for us, and I don't think we know who we are. In fact, I know we don't know who we are. We hear these things, but it does not soak in on us. That's why we have to take the Word of God over and over and over. Mark 11:23. Look at this wonderful verse of Mark 11:23. If there's anything anybody ought to know, it's Mark 11:23. I have used Mark 11:23 so many times for so many awesome miracles. I'm talking about miracles. Things that you just don't hardly ever hear about in church. A miracle to me is when Peter walked up to the man that was crippled and he said, "Alms, alms." And Peter said, "I don't have any money, but what I have better than money, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And he grabbed that man by the arm and jerked him up. And that guy's feet became strong, and that guy began to run all up and down the steps of the temple, praising God. Now, to me, folks, that's a miracle. Well, that exact thing happened to me with Johnny Brumfield when I was in Manny, Louisiana. That man hadn't walked a step in 21 months. His legs were crippled. He had been in ICU 30 days. They'd put steel braces on him, put all kinds of steel plates in his legs and everything else. He had not walked a step in 21 months, and I walked over to where he was, made him a promise from God's Word. I stood on that promise in the name of Jesus, and I reached up and grabbed Johnny Brumfield. When he said, "I believe that," I said, "Well, stand up. Take the steel off and stand up." And he took that steel off and throwed it down there and bent his legs, and I reached down to pick him up. And when I did, it hurt. I said, "Don't go by what you see or feel or nothing. Just come on." And I just jerked him out of there. I mean, you know, I was just jerking him out of himself. And he stood up, and he walked around the podium three times, and then he broke and ran to the back door and back down the front with both hands up, screaming, "God is awesome!" Well, let me tell you, God is awesome. He's still awesome.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled "Praise Him for Trials and Tests," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.